May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We have in the gospel for this morning of Matthew 13, the end of the gospel of the parables, the sermon of parables, which are seven. We've been hearing them for the past couple of Sundays, whereby the last three are kind of the culmination of this real cosmic sweep of really salvation history. And so just kind of a review of what we've looked at, and then kind of the call that we're called to specifically as Franciscans of the Immaculate. So Matthew 13 begins with the different types of soil. You'll probably remember the three types of bad soil and the one type of good soil. And that one type of good soil will yield different produce, different 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it gets at the human condition, the fallen human condition, the call towards perfection, the call towards the really the new nature that was only given to us through Mary to Jesus. And the second parable is the work of the enemy. And it's the householder goes and sows different seed, good seed, and the enemy comes and sows bad seed. And that seed looks a lot like the other, and then they both grow up. And so then we have the work of the enemy with that parable, which Jesus explains to his disciples. And then we also, last week, we heard about the God's offer of grace, which is the mustard seed, and it's the leaven, whereby something new is breaking into the world, where that which is, like, you probably had sushi before, if you ever have sushi with this horseradish sauce, it's the fiery force of the gospel. It's really takes over. It cleans you out. And that's the force of faith, whereby that which seems to be very, very insignificant takes over our lives, and also, of course, in the whole planet has spread throughout the whole globe. And also with 11, this elevating aspect of God's grace. Now, with the gospel of today, we have man's response to that grace. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's like all these different things. And here it's like how we are to respond to it. And that, a treasure. Coming across a treasure. I met a young man who was looking at consecrated life. And he was baptized probably as a late teenager, maybe 18 or 19. And he said it was like going from black and white into technicolor. And it's something that we actually take for granted because perhaps we were baptized from infancy. But there's a whole reality. There's a whole life view that colors our thinking. You can even just think of the great theology behind Christian suffering. What other religion proposes something as deep as that, giving meaning to something that's just at fundamentally irrational, right? But the meaning, of course, is love. And we can give that suffering in our lives that same meaning of love with our fiat, with our yes. And so with these parables, our response. And so coming across this first one, the treasure buried in the field, is interesting because, first off, we know it's not the guy's field. He has to buy it once he realizes that it's there. And what was he doing? It doesn't say that he was searching for it. I mean, if you're searching for a treasure, you know, all the best, you can go out with a metal detector or something like that on the beach. But just to start in the middle of a field doesn't really make sense. So what was he doing there? It perhaps, just private reflection, he was working a field for his employer. He was cultivating the field, and he came across this. And so, I got a great idea. I'll just buy the field, and I'll get this treasure too. Now, think of that. If he was to buy the field, with what means would he buy that field? He would buy that field from the very means that he gained from his employer. And that, in a spiritual sense, would be returning the image back to God. And, for example, Jesus, when he's posed to pay the temple tax, give me a coin. Whose image is this? It's Caesar's. Well, give to Caesar what's Caesar, and give to God what's God's. And the fathers interpret that, giving back to God the image that he's given to us. I mean, we don't have anything, absolutely anything, besides that prior to justification. Giving that back is an obedience of faith. Because, you know, sometimes you hear just kind of slang, you know, do you buy it? I don't buy it. I bought it. And buying the field is buying this whole deposit of faith. It's not just part of it. You buy the whole thing. And in one person, that whole treasury is contained, of course, in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's the good soil that the whole new creation came through, that Jesus received his human nature, of course, from the immaculate flesh of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so buying That is entering into the mystery of the Immaculate. It's the very sound theology of St. Louis de Montfort. To Jesus through Mary. It happened in history, and it happens throughout history with every person that comes to Jesus. You can't get around it. She's the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to get to the mystery of that covenant. You're going into the Ark. And that's Mother Mary in one person. So, okay. That's, in one sense, we're buying that field, and that's happened in our baptism. That's happened in this process of justification. Now it's our field. Hey, that's great. Now I have Jesus. That's right, you do. Now I have also in union with Jesus, Mary. That's right, you do. And also that field continues to produce things that are now yours and mine because I own the field. That's right. Those are merits and satisfactions. Those are the works of charity whereby, of course, preceded by grace, surrounded by grace, finished by grace, that the field continues now to produce fruits unto everlasting life. And so we see in the thought of St. Louis de Montfort that the renewal and Marian consecration is the perfect renewal of one baptismal promises, because on the same field now that is yours, it's given to us, it's yielding a whole new crop that we could appropriate to ourselves. These merits and satisfactions, we could appropriate them to ourselves. What's the great danger? Wow, I got a lot of goods. I'm going to store them away and I'll be set. And self-complacency is the danger. You fool. Your life will be demanded this night. What good are all these things if you appropriate them to yourself, right? And so with Marian consecration, we take all those goods, we give them to from whom they came, which is the Immaculate Virgin Mary. And that is the telos, that's the finality. And we can say, I mean, in one sense, of course, it's not a sacrament, but it is a subjective participation in the total yes that Mother Mary gave at the foot of the cross. And baptism is the beginning of that yes, that fiat, and then the end of it is what we enter into preveniently by formally saying, yes, I will stand with you at the foot of the cross. Consequently, the perfect practice of Marian consecration is the perfection of our unconditional fiat, which brings us to the second reading. We know, do we? We propose to know that all things work to good for those who love God. And this is the divine providence that Jesus, who is the Word, works throughout all of history and individually, very personally, in each of our lives, speaking to us and giving us this yoke of his commandments, this burden that we are to carry of charity, which fits us well and also will perfect us well, shall we continue to say yes and not throw off the yoke? Or refuse to carry it. No, I won't carry that burden. Well, then it will crush you, right? This is something we have to remind ourselves over and over again. Those things that weigh upon us, we are able to, by our fiat, a real deliberate, here's reality, and I don't like it in terms of the suffering that's brought on, but I say yes. And I say yes with love in union with Jesus, then we get on top of that which could crush us. And then we enter into the wisdom that's given to us in the first reading of Solomon. Because wisdom is a taste, and it's an experiential taste of divine realities. Like in the wedding feast of Cana, they taste the wine. That can be interpreted in one sense mystically as the tasting of the wisdom of God, or the fruit of this holy, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's also an aspect of governance there. That's right, Solomon's prayer. How can I govern all these folks? And when we say yes to suffering, our perspective changes into the perspective of God. And that gaze is then governing. In other words, because we have entered into this governance of self, we also now enter into a real divine governance of even divine providence. We participate in the very will of God. And this is the high bar of Marian consecration. To enter into that, I want to focus you. You probably have read the salutation to the virtues of St. Francis. And I just want to refocus you back on that. There are six virtues that are proposed. I want to re-propose three. And I want to say that these are the wings of the seraphim. And the first one is simplicity, that to live our Marian consecration well, our gaze interiorly must be fixed upon the one who loves us unconditionally, interiorly on Christ. We have to more and more enter into that interior gaze, which doesn't falter. It doesn't falter. This is how we withstand, you know, who can stand, for example, at the end of our lives. Just a reminder, we'll be accused of all of our sins. Are you going to be able to stand? Am I going to be able to stand? Only by faith, in company with the Immaculate, and the gaze of Christ crucified, looking at me. This is what I've done, and he's looking at me with love. So this simplicity of gaze interiorly, we want to get used to now, that it's a reality, and it's an anchor. Okay, and also the exterior gaze of divine providence, again, our fiat to all the sufferings that come. The second right wing, let's say, we'll say, of the seraphim is going to be this obedience. We have our rule, which we are to obey in detail and to be faithful to prayer. We're also, again, with divine providence, obedient to the dictates of divine providence, the demands of charity that are made upon us. We have to enter, third order. Blessed Angela Foligno, she said, let the whole world know, grace follows after suffering. You're getting a full court press? Endure, endure, endure. You'll be blessed. You've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it. That's how it works. And the last right wing that we're going to focus on is this great humility, which is the good soil. And let's say we don't have any of it, but the Immaculate Virgin Mary has plenty of it, and she'll give it to us. And then we keep going back and back to that. So the treasure in the field, we've got. we've bought it. And then we re-enter with Marian consecration. So let us daily renew our Marian consecrations, and let us also more generously enter the fiat of the Immaculate in the face of all the crosses that the Lord, who loves us, has deigned to gift us with.